I'm Metal Mattson from Super Geeky Playdate, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Hey everyone, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast with audio quality straight out of a 1920s AM broadcast.
That's right, everyone. You'll love our podcast quality.
My name is Jason, and joining me today is Adam and usually Dave. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
And that's it. See you later.
All right. Well, don't leave just yet, everybody, because we do have a terrific show scheduled today.
Yeah, I had a real crazy dream. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, we should have a crazy dream every week. Well, we probably do. We just don't talk about it.
Aliens came and but you know, touched me.
Oh, no.
We definitely need to talk about that on the next episode. But we do have some other news here that we're going to be covering, some Adobe news. We'll be talking about a possible update, finally, to Apple's Mac Mini. We never thought this was coming, and maybe it still isn't. Maybe it's just Boulder Dash or whatever you want to call it. We have a double dose of superhero news coming from both Marvel and DC, and just so much more. So don't tune out on us just yet, all right? But first, it's riddle time, right? With UD, or UD as we like to call it.
Usually to the Dave.
That's right. That's right. And so this week, the riddle that we have that we're going to see if anyone sent in guesses for is a riddle that Captain Poland left us during our episode of Shame. And if you didn't hear that, the riddle went like this. It said, "I am the ruler of shovels." Wait. Should I try and say this like Captain Poland?
That's what I was going to say. Do the voice. Yes.
How can we do this? I don't know if
good
I can
evening.
Do it.
That's pretty close. There you go, Jason, do it.
This is Captain Poland speaking. I don't have the riddle in front of me.
Oh, my gosh.
I was doing the voice. Okay. I am the ruler of shovels. I have a double. I am as thin as a knife. I have a wife. What am I?
All right.
I am Batman.
Ruler of shovels. I have a double. I am thin as a knife, and I have a wife. What am I? So do we have anyone send in not responses, but any guesses?
Well, unfortunately, we got nothing from Captain Poland. I was pretty upset about that.
Yeah, but it's his riddle. We can't be upset about
it. I understand, but we need to hear the voice every episode. And my interpretation of him just doesn't suit me. Yeah, it did pretty much suck. Mm-hmm. Just like every impersonation you ever do, Adam. But we did get a submission.
They're terrible.
We did get a submission from Jesse. Let me find it here.
Hey, Digital Soup. This is Jesse. Amazed even myself and got the riddle right away. So, haha, in your face, Captain Poland. It is the King of Spades. He's as thin as a knife. He has a wife. He has a double. And he's related to a shovel. Is that how it went? I don't remember. But yeah, King of Spades. What do you think of that? Have a great day, guys.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, Jesse.
Nailed
I think
it.
He talks to himself just about as much as he was talking to us.
Now awesome.
he's gonna be like, I hate that Jason on Digital Soup.
Oh,
he sucks.
Yeah, well,
Captain Poland probably
not,
hates me
not
now too.
He's not wrong. Am I right, guys?
You know, you can be edited out of life.
Nuh-uh. it is really nice to have someone else send in an audio answer. That was great.
It is.
And
you
got it right, Jesse. Good job.
You did. Well, are you guys ready for a brand new riddle?
Oh, I am.
Born ready, dude.
All right, so bear with me. One's a little bit of a head scratcher.
Oh, it's about bears. Sweet.
No, it's not.
I'm brown and hairy, and in the woods I'm scary. What am I?
I'm a bear.
Hey, Dave, before you do that, did you guys ever watch The American Office?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember the one where Jim was impersonating Dwight?
Yes.
And it was about a bear with something like, I can't remember what it was, but it was so hilarious. I think I was drinking Yoo-hoo at the time, and it came out my nose. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, fact. Oh, I got to find that.
Which is better, brown bears or black bears? Wrong, black bears or something like that. I got to go back and watch that episode. But sorry to derail this. Go ahead.
I'd say we should put that in the show notes.
Right.
A clip to that?
Yep.
A link to the clip?
Yep.
Yeah, we could do that.
You guys hook it up. So the riddle this week for you guys, and again, please do send in your answers. We do absolutely love it when you do that. So during a visit to a mental asylum, a visitor asks the director what the criteria is that defines if a patient should be institutionalized. Well, said the director, we fill up a bathtub. Then we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient and ask the patient to empty the bathtub. Okay, here's your test. Would you, number one, use the spoon? Number two, would you use the teacup? Or number three, would you use the bucket? Oh, I understand, said the visitor. A normal person would choose the bucket as it's larger than the spoon. What was the director's response?
Wrong.
Welcome to the funny farm.
They're coming to take me away.
Can I answer already, or shouldn't I?
Well, no, because we want people to send in. And not gonna
okay,
do
I know this one. I'm just gonna say I know this one because I think I do.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk after the show.
Yeah. Tell us off air. All right, man.
Oh, I'll tell you off. All right.
No, there's a comma that needs to be there. Tell us off air, not tell us comma off air.
Take off, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, that's a right. Horrible Canadian accent. Hey,
you know what? Do you think they have a lot of light in the rooms at asylums?
Probably.
I always picture those swinging single bulb lights, but that's not really an asylum. You know?
Swinging
single.
You mean like when...
like in an interrogation. You
like
know?
In the original Batman where the Joker was... he took the wrapping off and he saw how hideous he was and he slammed the light that was hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Whoa.
I'm not crazy, you're crazy.
Well, speaking of light and rooms, Adobe upgraded Lightroom.
Yeah.
And Photoshop. Let's talk about that.
They did. Jason, this was your topic. So
it was not.
Usually is.
I know. Usually, when it comes to photography, I got
it. That's classic usually Jason.
Yep. No, what happened was last week... Adobe held their big Adobe Max event, and they went ahead and they announced some pretty substantial updates to the popular Lightroom and Photoshop programs.
To the Max?
Yeah, to the Max. And what they did, this update and this announcement really has a lot of people kind of divided and pretty upset. So,
really?
Yep, tackling Photoshop first, a lot of it was, you know, speed and performance enhancements. Nothing on the Photoshop side itself that was really super groundbreaking. So I'm not going to worry too much about Photoshop. But Lightroom itself got confusing as all get out. Because right now, prior to this update and this announcement, there was Adobe Lightroom CC and Adobe Photoshop CC. At the Max event, Adobe announced there is a... new Adobe Lightroom CC, and then what they're calling Adobe Lightroom Classic CC.
I love CNC Music Factory. Is that a little bit like that?
Everybody dance now.
I think it is.
No, so what they did is they took the they took the existing edition of Lightroom, which is what people are familiar with now. It's a desktop-based client. They renamed that, instead of Lightroom CC, they renamed it to Lightroom Classic CC. And then
is Lightroom CC?
Well, then they went in and they introduced Lightroom CC, which is a cloud-based Lightroom program that is functional across all devices. Now, it's not going to work for me because as a photographer and someone who does this as more than just the occasional snapshots, I just have too big of a catalog to do this. But the way Lightroom CC works is that all of your photos are uploaded to the cloud with Adobe. And you get for free, if you're already a subscriber with the Adobe CC Photographers Bundle, which is $10 a month, you get 20 gigs of space and you get all the updates, everything to both Lightroom Classic and Lightroom CC. if you want to get into this with just the Lightroom CC cloud-based, it could be very cool. Like we had talked about with Photoshop Elements, Adam, for people just looking to get into it and the ease of use. The only thing is that in order to edit your photos, you have to upload them all to the cloud with Adobe, which is, I mean, you can
it's
save
what I
them
always
on.
Wanted.
Yeah, I mean, you can have an option to save a local copy as well of your raw files, the untouched files. But the nice thing about it is that if you update to that and you're using that service, you can edit pictures on your phone, then jump onto your PC and be editing there. You could go over to your iPad or your tablet, edit there.
Yeah.
So you have access to all of it, but it's not something for me that I'm going to use because...
Right. So that's just the thing here is that this is, you know, in concept, it's really great, but we're talking about our very large data files. And if you have a lot of large data files, that 20 gig is a very microscopic percentage
Well,
the amount of data you've got.
The thing to know is that if you wanted to, if you're not an existing Adobe CC photographer bundle subscriber at the moment, you can.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah. I didn't know any easy way to say that. But if you're not a current subscriber of that plan, you can actually set up a new plan where they will give you, if you don't want the Lightroom Classic on the desktop and you want just this Lightroom Cloud, it ups to a terabyte. And you can also pay X amount. I think it's $10 more a month per terabyte that you add. But that gets expensive in a hurry. You know, and it's a subscription model. But for, you know, the average, you know, soccer mom or, you know, I don't want to say anything negative. It's just for the average person that's not taking a ton of photos, a terabyte of information might be all right because they might take, you know, 10 photos a week or something, which is, you know, and they're probably not using super high end cameras where the files are enormous either. They're probably shooting JPEGs, which are a lot smaller. So it's an option. So, it's not for me.
The article that you listed here, the fstoppers.com article, I think it's got some pretty good narration about this. You know, it says, objectively speaking, designers, marketers, PR firms, and vacationers alike should opt for nothing more than the Lightroom CC plan. And I can see that when I was a freelance web developer, if I was working on images and it was a small amount, and, you know, now that things are moving to the cloud and it's project-based, you know, it would be fairly simple and more convenient just to do it through the cloud because... I've got it everywhere I'm working, and so it's kind of one of those solutions that fits certain areas, but it definitely, for some, I can definitely see your perspective, and I actually agree, even as a complete novice amateur photographer, I prefer the desktop version because of just the massive amount of pictures that you take, and quite honestly, I don't have an internet connection that would support 8 to 9 megabyte per JPEG or per raw file that I'm, whatever size they are.
Yeah. The boneheaded part, too, was like, why did they do the naming the way they did and just confuse everybody to the point where there's been follow-up, you know, posts and announcements from Adobe to clarify what's going on. And, I mean, you already had a product named Lightroom CC.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You know, they should have given this new Lightroom cloud-based service, maybe just called it Lightroom Cloud or something, Cloud CC, you know, something. Just to distinguish it as a brand new product, but it's kind of goofy. Jason, you were about to say something. I just kind of interrupted you there.
Oh, no, that's no problem. You're the one that has all the good information on this. usually I just, you know, bust in with a joke here and there, but this wasn't a joke.
Sure.
You had mentioned about the soccer mom who just has a few pictures to edit here and there. Why would she need, you know, more than 20 megabytes of data, you know, storage or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Or gigabytes, 20 gigabytes,
terabyte.
Not megabytes. But
a terabyte is what I was looking at there.
All right. But what I was going to say was, you know, for that soccer mom who's, you know, just going to edit, you know, 3-4 pictures a week during soccer season, you don't even need to go to a route where you have to pay a subscription or even buy software. I mean, I use GIMP, and for what I use, you know, for as much as I need to edit stuff, it wouldn't benefit me to do a subscription-based anything.
Yep.
So, I mean, GIMP works great. I don't know if you guys have ever used it, but it seems like it, you know, it has a lot of advanced features, which I don't use. I use the simple stuff, and it works great for me, and it's free.
Right.
That's what I like. Now, I actually do need to pick your brains here, Adam and Dave.
Well,
because
go for it, yep.
Okay, because we had something major happen. Over the weekend, my wife and daughters were gone because my oldest daughter had, she had two parades she had to be in down south in the Columbus area. And my wife, she has, you know, her DSLR camera, which she uses a lot of the time. But sometimes, you know, dragging around two kids with her too, because only one of them's in the parade, you know, and everything else that goes with that, she finds it's just as easy just to grab her phone mm-hmm. and take some pictures. Well, she has an Android phone with a micro SD card, mm-hmm. and she had taken all kinds of pictures. And Sunday night before she headed home, she was, you know, posting some pictures from her SD card onto Facebook. And the Facebook app on there, it actually, there's a, you know, right below where it has you post, you know, what you're doing now, whatever it's called, it'll show like all your most recent pictures that you have just taken.
Right.
And from there, she was putting pictures on it. And all of the pictures were on there. And then she went to go add another one in, and all of a sudden, all the pictures were gone. There was no more pictures in that section. So then she went into gallery, and there was no pictures. She then went into photos. You guys don't use Android, so you don't know that. But gallery was the older style one, and then they came out with photos, with the photo library. And it's mm-hmm. two separate ways to access all your pictures. Photos had no pictures. So she's distraught because she took a lot of pictures, and I'll tell you how many in a second. Well, she texted me. I was at work and told me what happened. I said, I'll look at it when I get home. So last night I get home from work, and I take her phone, and I'm trying to access them with the phone, you know, and I'm even using the file manager and going into the pictures, and I can see all the files, every single file. She had almost 1,400 pictures in the photo folder.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them had a broken image.
Oh, no.
The broken image icon.
Corrupt.
So I'm like, all right, well, here, you know, let me just, I took the SD card out, put it into the adapter, put it into our, you know, the reader on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and copied them all over onto first her Mac, because that's where I was at. Every one of them had a Mac broken image icon.
Oh.
And whenever I double clicked on them, you know, to load them up, it said it could not be read. Pardon me. So now it's well after midnight, and I tried one program to, you know, I did a Google search trying to find some different programs, and tried one before bed. It searched for like 40 minutes, you know, trying to do some salvaging and stuff, and it wasn't able to fix it. It said it restored all these pictures. But you click on them, and it's still a broken image icon. You know, the little icon is still a broken image icon, and it won't load up. So then this morning I came down to my PC and threw it into my PC, copied all the pictures over, and started using a bunch of different programs, trying to see if I could get it to work. I mean, I used quite a few, like Picture Doctor and... what are some of the other ones? Stellar's Phoenix Repair, the Ease US Data Recovery Wizard. Thinking, I don't know why, I just thought maybe that would do something too. I tried, mm-hmm. I was trying all kinds of things, and nothing could restore the pictures. And like I said, there's about 1,400 pictures.
Wow.
So my question to you two experts in this field is, what do you recommend? How can I get all these pictures back?
Data recovery service comes to mind for me, which means like send it in to somebody that has some expertise in that, because it's hard to say what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what I'm thinking is it's the micro SD card is a 32 gig, but it wasn't a name brand like a Samsung or anything. It was a white label one, whatever you want to call it. It's not a name brand one. So, I mean, everything's there. Absolutely everything is still on there. All the folder structures and everything. I can access documents and stuff that are on there. But it's the picture folders, and it's all the picture folders are all, just saying they're corrupt. You know, every image is corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, short of sending it off to a data recovery place, the first thing you want to do is make sure do not take any more pictures on that card.
No, I have the card with me.
Did you already do a backup?
I copied everything to her Mac and to my PC, so actually I have two backups, and it's still on there.
Because, the only other thing I could check with is you could try, I know like even Lexar and SanDisk, they come with their card recovery services. Try running something like that on the card itself, but Yeah, I guess some kind of data recovery service might be your
Well, do you have any recommendations? You heard anybody use any of these services and recommend one?
I know both Lexar and SanDisk, they do...
Oh, they have recovery services? Yep, but will they handle non-Lexar or SanDisk media?
I believe it will read on there and attempt to do it. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank on any names, but...
Program I tried today, I paid $44 for
because
we were desperate.
And it didn't work.
It did not work. No.
Okay. Did you try that ZAR recovery?
Just the ones I told you about.
Okay.
Let me Google ZAR.
Hopefully
this is helping out other people that have had this same issue. But as I said, my wife is really distraught about this.
Oh, I bet. Zero Assumption Recovery or ZAR. You can, I'm reading something on digitalphotographyschool.com where they got to use this to... Mm-hmm. Kind of do exactly what you're doing, is that the SD card has gone belly up. And
oh, it's made by Wondershare. I actually purchased some stuff by them before.
So I don't know if that's going to help.
You know, it's weird, though, because if you right-click on one of those image files that's broken, what is it saying is the size of it? I mean, is it looking like...
They're all different sizes. Every picture was a different size.
Yeah, and images will be slightly different sizes, but do they look like a normal size of an image off that phone?
Hold on, let me... Whoa. I just dropped my phone. Sorry.
The only reason I ask, because it's weird, because if the file is there, but it's just not showing the image, it's almost like there's some kind of weird... not a driver or something on the phone, you know what I mean? Where something broke there, almost like in Windows, if you're trying to view RAW files, you have to have the right codec to do it. And it's almost like something happened there. And my other fear would be that, I mean, not that it could have happened, but it being that it happened while using Facebook, if there was some sort of virus that got sent through Facebook or something, which wouldn't make any sense based on the activity you said.
Does that do that on the phone, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could maybe where it just locked everything out, but you would think everything else would be screwy, too.
Well, I got one more thing I want to... Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was going to segue us off into something else, and we can kind of touch base and come back to this, and maybe next podcast we can talk about what solution you came up with.
Yeah,
we could. I just want to say one more thing, though, and I'm kicking myself in the face and the testicles right now because...
Oh, no. Let us do that.
Okay, you know that we all talk about backup. Backup is very important,
right.
And you guys use Backblaze and stuff, and I use iDrive. I have a terabyte iDrive.
Yep.
What's awesome is I had on every one of our phones and our tablets and our computers all linked up to iDrive. And when I go into my wife's I go into the iDrive account, and each device has its own directory. So I went into my wife's phone from the web browser interface.
Yep.
And she has every single picture she's ever taken up until July, I think it was like July 26th or something like that. But every picture was up to that point. And I remembered, that was around my vacation time. She was having issues with her phone, so I wiped it. I reset it completely. I never reinstalled iDrive.
Oh, no.
And if I would have done that...
It would have been
Because it's worked flawless. Every single time she's taken pictures, it had uploaded them.
Man.
I dropped the ball there. That was all 100% me. If I would have put that back on, we would have not been having this issue.
I totally just went through the range of emotions thinking, there, he's going to tell us he found them. Great. Oh,
I know. I heard you.
The emotional roller coaster. But
before we jump off this, the one thing I wanted to wrap up on Lightroom with is they didn't just change this new program with Lightroom and confuse everybody. Within Lightroom Classic, the desktop application, they did make some upgrades, speed performances, which some people are saying they've really noticed. Other people saying it's kind of a farce where nothing else is really faster. I haven't noticed a huge difference on mine, but I haven't really had a chance to do much editing, so I don't know there.
Sure.
But the one thing they did, they added two new tools within your adjustment masks and gradient filters and stuff. Well, like say you're going to try and darken a sky out or something. They added a luminosity and a color mask so that your masking within Lightroom just has...
Illuminati?
That's what luminosity. It's got much more detail, so it's actually a much, much more precise tool. And I did play with those, and it's actually very powerful. So the upgrades they made to the standalone Lightroom are actually very good so far, but they just kind of confused everyone to no end on the other rest of it. So hey, it's kind of a boneheaded move.
Question for you. So I just signed up for, you know, the photography CC, whatever. It's $9.99 a month. Are they changing the pricing?
Nope, not on. If you already have it, you're still at $9.99 a month for the photographer's bundle. If all you want is the Lightroom Classic Edition and Photoshop, you also will get for free the Lightroom cloud-based edition, but I didn't. You don't have to install it. I didn't install it on mine. I just did the upgrade, and everything was good to go. So it seems like they did make some improvements to it, which is kind of cool.
So a lot of times, and so yeah, we're on photography for right now and some file recovery, but still tied into this. This is kind of cool. A lot of times in Lightroom, if you do photography stuff, people are always trying to get your photos to look more like film. And there is a new Kickstarter campaign out for something that's designed to add the digital photo back to your old 35 millimeter film camera. So in other words, there's a new device that's being developed called I'm Back, which is something that you can actually hook to your old analog film camera.
Right.
And actually take digital shots through your old camera.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty interesting because then you have like your original, the original old film cameras would look directly as a digital image.
Yeah, with the classic lenses and everything else. I'm going to say this. The idea behind it, if you have some old film cameras kicking around, this is just my personal opinion, kind of cool, kind of fun to play with. It's not super expensive either, I don't think. Couple $100 or $160, something like that. I forget what it is. But looking at it, to me, there are some limited cameras it works on because it's, you know, the camera has to be able to have your film plate open up. I myself, though, at first I thought, this is pretty cool. This is interesting. Could be fun to play with. All of that kind of stuff. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought, this is ridiculous.
It's gimmicky.
It's gimmicky. And not only that, but they're cramming these old lenses and everything else, you know, to get you that look. The body itself on a film camera isn't going to do anything to impact the way your image looks, to the best of my knowledge. Yep. That's all coming from these vintage lenses.
I'll tell you
something,
my body doesn't impact my image. It doesn't help at all. So go on.
But
you're such a dork.
No, but that one got me. I can't stop.
Your
it.
Image does impact our lunch, though. Oh.
Fitness. Adam is a fitness guru, right?
Yeah, it makes it sound like I'm 400 bills over here.
No, that's he's a fitness guru.
No, just about 3.5
bills. Yeah. Our other podcast, we're going to start the fitness show. But the thing is, it's just those old lenses that are going to give you that special look. And when you look at the tech inside of this thing, they're not really saying a ton, but you can shoot, high def video at basically 2K video at 24 frames a second, 1080p at 60 frames. Photos are on a 16 megapixel sensor. Thing is, that sensor is still very small. It's not a high quality sensor at all. And so when you look at it, I mean,
that rhymed.
Yeah. It's bigger than the iPhone sensor, but 16 megapixels, who cares? You can, you know, you have megapixels there, but my iPhone is 12, you know, and that's an old iPhone 6S Plus.
But Dave, does the size of the sensor really matter, or is it how you use it?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true too, I guess, literally, because...
and there goes Adam. You just got to count three,
No,
two,
I caught it.
One.
I caught it right away. I was just responding slowly on purpose.
No. See, the thing is, sidestepping that terrific joke, size of the sensor does matter and how you use
it.
Hashtag
sarcasm.
Right. If you were using that tiny sensor in full sun, tons of light, you're going to get decent image quality. Where a sensor size is really gonna play the biggest impact is when it starts getting lower light. It's gonna get really noisy no matter how many megapixels are on there. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna say this. If you want the look of this old film, old, you know, classic 35 millimeter looking imagery, I don't know that I'd waste money on this I'm Back project, or if I'd go buy some of these adapters that I can get right from my SLR camera, my digital SLR. I know I have one for my Fuji cameras, which lets me use any Nikon lenses I want. And you get one of these adapters, and a lot of people do this, and you can adapt all of this old-time glass, these lenses from 1950s or whenever you want. You get these adapters. They're usually pretty inexpensive because they're a dumb adapter, meaning you control the aperture on the lens. You know, it's not it's all manual focus. Everything's manual, so it's dumb. There's no technology in it. It basically just lets the old lenses fit into the right size mount on your camera, and you get them for a lot cheaper, and you're going to get that same look than you would on this, but you're going to get the better sensor out of your digital SLR. So to me, waste of money, gimmicky. I wouldn't
bother. So maybe it's not back.
Yeah, I'm back. Should have stayed gone.
Baby, come back. Any kind of fool could see scientists
in
Australia.
Isn't that used in a fast food commercial?
Probably. That I don't know. You guys, we have a science alert.
Yep, science alert.
Somebody has made a two-dimensional material never been seen in nature. And
yeah,
this is actually off sciencealert.com. And it looks like a new 2D material with huge implications.
Yeah.
Who wants to take this one?
Well, since I know nothing about it, I'm going to pass.
I was going to say, did either of you guys read the story, or do I have to read it?
I did not, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I don't have time. I've got kids.
Time for that. We got cats.
Right. Well, so, let me break this one down kind of quick then. And Adam, you can give me your thoughts, because I have a feeling you might have looked into this. This seemed like something kind of up your alley. I don't know when I saw this, but this...
He is a blacksmith, yes.
On Skyrim,
Yeah, in Skyrim, he's a fantastic blacksmith. No, this is a material.
Well, in EverQuest, I was a druid, and what I would do...
My plane of portability powers.
Come on, brethren, we will defeat the hordes!
For the horde!
Zug.
They created a material no thicker than actually just a couple of atoms.
One is enough, dude. One is plenty.
We just talked about this. That's pretty darn thick.
I totally realized as I said it how that was going to go.
Atoms.
But it's super,
black
super small.
Black atom?
No. But the cool thing is that the way they make it, basically, we'll kind of summarize this. They dissolve metals in these other liquid metals. It creates like a super, super thin oxide layer, basically, that they peel away and use. And what these layers are used for, though, is in things like transistor components, touch screens, things like that, that let them, you know, work not only faster, but they require much less power, make your touchscreens more responsive. And actually with this tech, they're saying that if they can get this going, it might let people actually make their own touchscreens. So essentially this
something new... I've always wanted to do.
Well, you know, people love the DIY stuff. You never know. So, I mean, really just a breakthrough that could really provide electronics with much faster performance in less power usage.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going back and rereading something on here because some of the implications, you kind of asked my opinion on this, and I had to speed read the article a little bit. The possibility that something, we're talking about transistors here, is where you're going to see some of that huge impact, right, on components in modern electronics. And that's how we get, you know, more and more transistors on. You know, that's going back to Moore's law, which is, let's see here. The number of transistors within, was it a square inch? Moore's law. The number of transistors per square inch on integrated circuits has doubled every year since their invention. So the more transistors you have packed into an area, you know, there, it's just... The more transistors, the more switching power you've got, basically, for computing. Right. And so if you've got something that makes them way, way smaller and thinner, you could now really expand on how many transistors you've gotten if I remember my old hardware classes properly.
Right.
So,
yeah. And with, you know, they're always, you know, Intel and AMD, they're always working on smaller, you know, manufacturing processes, you know, because, you know, the smaller the transistors, the smaller the die, the less power it uses, and that equals less heat.
Right.
And that's one of the things that's bad. I mean, in a big, bad computer like what we have, you know, there's plenty of room for cooling and stuff. But, you know, phones and, you know, any Internet of Things, you know, any type of small thing that they want more power with, they, you know, more performance, I should say, they don't want it to have... you know, to utilize more power because then it's going to increase the heat.
Yep.
So, you know, if you have something as small as a couple of atoms, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that would be amazing.
Well, so
hydrogen atoms walk into a bar. And one says, I think I've lost an electron. And the other says, are you sure? And the first goes, I'm positive. Anybody? Anybody? No? Okay, so
I got it.
I don't get it. Did he just take an AIDS test?
Oh, no. More in depth on this. It's RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia is the group that has done this. And they're calling this an incredible breakthrough. It will not only revolutionize the way we do chemistry, but could be applied to enhance data storage and make faster electronics.
Yeah.
Kaboom. That would be pretty cool.
Well, and think about this, because where my mind went when I saw this article was immediately to the thought of, okay,
Terminator 2.
What have we? Well, no,
yeah, liquid metal polyalloy.
I didn't think of that, but that's a good point though. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. Shoot,
I'm looking for John Connor.
But I was thinking, look at your iPhones, look at your smartphones, and what have we all been saying? The race on these things, they keep wanting to make them more powerful, but thinner and smaller, and thinner and thinner and thinner. But they're getting to a point where they're almost too thin.
Yeah, they're kind of anorexic.
Because they're the
we want to be
bendable,
able to fold
that's
them
the next thing. Right now they're so thin that
actually I saw an article about bendable smart screens out there. I didn't link it up. I'd have to find it, but that is something they're working on. But if you think about if they can do this in the phone, will this let us finally get a phone that, say, even if they keep it at the thickness where they're at now on, say, an iPhone 8 or whatever else, but increase the battery life so you don't have to charge it every day, you know, push that out or be able to cram in instead of, you know, whatever, 256 gigs of storage, suddenly you got a terabyte of storage in your phone. Hmm. You know, some of that could be pretty huge.
We are getting there, Dave, because one of the biggest power consumers in a phone is the screen.
Right.
And with the new iPhone 10, which it is a 10, now I have to relent and not call it X anymore because the Apple gurus did call it the 10, so that's what I'm calling it now. But I believe that has an OLED, right, screen?
Yep.
And that does consume less power than any LCD, it IPS, whatever. Correct? Am I correct, or am I just making this up? Am I just pulling this out of my atom?
Hey, a little...
He didn't even get it. I said, you're a butt.
I got it. I just didn't laugh because it wasn't funny.
Okay.
Just kidding. It was hilarious.
Well, speaking of not being funny, though, Adam, I have to give you a comedy slap. And if you weren't 1,000 miles away, you'd be getting one right now. When you were... you totally blew it because we're talking about, you know, this is as big as two atoms. We already made the Black Adam joke, and then at the end you said kaboom where you should have said Shazam. Oh, it would have brought it all together.
That would have.
Right, Dave?
Shazam. Yep. Too late now, though.
Shazam.
So here's the deal. Looking at this article, so the article that we're going to post in the show notes, there's going to be some additional links in there. Kind of follow the trail a little bit, because when the scientists actually talk about how they did this, they're referring to the process as so easy they can instruct your mom to do it. And
your mom.
They predict that the developed technology applies to approximately one-third of the periodic table, which means many of these atomically thin oxides are semiconducting or dielectric materials. So in other words, they could potentially use multiple different elements with the same process to get it down that thin. So atomically thin components... for semiconductors and dielectric components, kind of like what we're talking about, could have a tremendous impact. So
absolutely,
that could be pretty cool.
Sweet.
But we'll see what's
definitely
up. These seem to be these seem to be published scientists here, so that's good. Cool.
Yeah, not just some quacks on the internet.
Right. Speaking of quacks, there's something we didn't want to let fall through the quack, and it's that the Mac Mini. Whoa, is that like a distant Segway sound. I think somebody fell off a cliff somewhere.
Yeah, the best part is when he goes through to, you know, process and produce our show here, you're going to be making a comment. It's going to be a full volume sound.
So the Mac Mini's not dead yet.
Not yet. Jason.
Or is it?
I thought Jason would be all over this one.
Oh, I was. I mean, and I read several articles on this because I was super excited about it. As you guys know, out of the three of us, I am a Mac guy. I've always enjoyed Mac OS X.
We even had Mac on as a guest. I mean, that's how much we like Macs.
Yeah, seriously. And I've actually owned three Mac Minis now. I still am currently running a Mac Mini, a 2007. 2010, my wife had, which died. Went to Mac, you know, heaven. Yep. Hopefully it's not a Mac L. I don't know. And she's currently using a 2011. So we did not get, of course, nobody got the 2014, which everybody knows why. Why? You guys understand why nobody wanted the 2014?
Because it's old.
Well, no, that's the latest Mac Mini. So you think that would be the best, but no, it wasn't.
They neutered it.
The 2012s had quad cores. For 2014, Apple decided, hey, quad cores is so, you know, underused. We're just going to go dual core on all our 2014s.
Yeah.
So they went dual core, plus they soldered the memory right on the board. If you wanted more than, if you wanted more than 4 gigabytes, you had to do it at purchase. It was not user accessible because it's soldered on the board. So you wanted 16 gigs, you had to pay that $500 to go from 4 to 16 gigs, you know, because of the Apple tax.
Why are you a Mac fan again?
Well, because I enjoy the operating system. The operating system is very good. That's why I wanted to make a Hackintosh, which I never did.
I may not be a fan of the Mac Mini, but when it comes to the Big Mac, I love it.
Oh, the Mac Pro, it is pretty good, except that...
No, I'm talking about the one that has the special sauce. Two all-beef patties.
But so here's what's going on.
Strange third bun in the middle.
Hey, I like that third bun. It actually, it pulls the whole sandwich together.
Yeah, who doesn't like a third bun?
Am I right?
I know that's going to my next song. Who doesn't like a third bun? My name's Dave.
Oh, I had nothing to do with this conversation. Yeah.
So anyways, Tim Cook finally, he did answer, you know, the masses and said that, no, we have not forgot about the Mac Mini. We still have plans for it in the future. His exact words that the Mac Mini lineup is not going away, which everybody's like, yes, that means just like every other line, we're going to get a new Mac Mini. Well, there's been a lot of speculation on this, a lot of articles out there. And, you know, yes, he said that they're not going to, you know, they haven't forgotten the Mac Mini. But does that mean that, no, we're not going to discontinue it? You can buy this 2014 one forever?
No.
Or does that mean, yes, we are working on a new one? We don't know that yet. So you can't get too excited yet. The only thing we do know is, no, they haven't canceled this line like they thought they were going to, which is a good thing because, as we all know, Mac computers are very expensive, and this was one of the only ways that, you know, the people that can't afford to spend $1,200 on a new computer could get into the Mac world. $499, get the baseline unit, and hey, you're using some OS X, and you're enjoying it, or Mac OS now, as it's called.
Yeah.
But you know, with 2014 tech, you know, it is so far behind the line. I mean, any new modern smartphone is faster than a dual core. I believe it's an i5. I think they had an i7 too, but still both dual cores. I mean, the phones nowadays are probably faster than that. So don't get too excited, Dave. I know you're super excited when you read this article and you're like, yes, I get to my new Mac Mini.
No, not so much. I'm fully invested on the PC side of things. I do find it interesting, though, that you are the self-proclaimed Mac guy who does not use an iPhone, and Adam and I are PC guys who both use iPhones. So figure
well,
it out.
Well, it's all because of cost. Yeah. If I was like you guys and I used one of the big contract companies out there, like the Sprints and the AT&Ts and the Verizons, I probably would be doing like you guys did and subsidize or monthly payments.
It's not a contract.
Oh, it isn't. It's a binding agreement between two parties.
Oh. Just kidding, Dave.
But I have, for the last 8 years, I've been on the prepaid, and currently I'm with a little insect. I'm not going to mention his name, but it's a little insect company. And you have to buy the phones outright.
Ladybug?
There is,
cockroach?
Yes. Ladybug Wireless. No, cockroach. You know, that would be awesome. We should start Cockroach Wireless.
Yeah, that rolls right out the tongue.
Well, yeah, but then we could pay la cucaracha.
That's not a cockroach.
Yes, it is. That's Spanish for cockroach.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I edit that out. I look like an idiot.
Yeah, no. You can leave it in. I was thinking something else. Never mind.
Oh, I was thinking of cockroach.
No, I was thinking you were making an inappropriate joke, and I was like, wait, what? No, we're not doing that now. Never mind. Keep going.
Woo!
But that's where we're at right now. I mean, Tim Cook did confirm that they're not going to cancel the line, but who knows where it's going from here. So Segway Master, let's do this.
All right. So the Mac Mini might not be dead, and neither is the security of your network if you get a VPN. We've talked about this before. It just so happens that one of us uses WinDescribe. And they have right now a lifetime sale for $49. We are not affiliated with them, but Jason uses them, and he has really enjoyed them as a VPN service. We've talked before about all the benefits of a VPN, but for $49, you can get WinScribe or a VPN for life. That's a pretty darn good deal, because normally it's like, you know, $40 for a year or two.
Right.
$40 for 5 years. For this specifically, this program, $22.49 for 3 years. But I mean, why would you do any of that when you can go $49 for life?
Right.
For life.
Minor 49er.
What I think, though, even though you said we're not affiliated with them, but Jason has been using them for a long time, I really think Jason needs to make this happen where we get WinScribe as a sponsor on this show.
That would be nice.
It's something we've talked about. So why don't you start reaching out and you know, rattling some cages, see if we can get something going on with the WinScribe folks, because you sing the praises of this software.
And I do, and maybe I will contact them after the show. And I do want to just say this quickly about WinScribe, so maybe they'll think about sponsoring us. But I have been using them for over a year. I did get a lifetime subscription back when I started. I believe it was $39 or $49, something like that. It was another special deal they had going on. And it works fantastic with the pro. I mean, there is a free version where you can choose like five different sites, a couple, two, three in the U.S., and then I think one in Canada, one in the U.K. But with the lifetime, you got, with the pro version, and this is for the pro version. This is the paid version, of course.
Nice.
It is, 50 or more locations that you can do, which is, it is pretty awesome. And I've installed it on a Mac and a PC. It works exactly the same. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I highly recommend it. In a WinScribe, I'm going to be giving you a little email, maybe a little Twitter, maybe a little, maybe I'll call you up, you know, late one night when I'm
All right.
Yeah. Oh, how do I segue?
What was that about dreams at the beginning of this show? No, absolutely. Though, you know, with something like WinScribe, this is a great opportunity to jump on it for a great price, but it's something where in today's, you know, constantly everything getting hacked and everything going haywire online, it's one of those things you almost can't be too safe, and it seems like a great way to help just protect yourself. So something seriously, I mean, all joking aside, that we really do recommend here is looking into how a VPN might work for you guys as a listener. Mm-hmm. So
you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. VPN can help protect yourself.
And Adam, wouldn't you say that if somebody passes up on this deal, this lifetime deal for $49, that they might be Thor-y?
Oh, they will be very Thor if they let this deal pass. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Yep.
Exactly.
So what's up with Thor?
Mistake.
We've got...
What did you say, Dave?
I said it'll be a hella big mistake. That's a deep Thor reference. Let's see if
yeah,
you
I did not get it. I thought you were talking about steak, and I'm getting hungry.
She is the main villain in Thor.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, has anybody?
She's been all over in the previews. The lady with the big, crazy black horn
head. The Medusa.
The antlered lady?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a deer.
No. So what's going on with Thor?
Yeah, that's a good question, guys. What's going on with Thor? It looks like some of the reviews are coming in, and that
it's tanking, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
it's
just
tanking.
And by tank, we mean it's rolling a tank over other superhero movies because
exactly
98% fresh.
Wonder Who?
One Wonderwall. So with nearly 50 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 98% fresh. It's doing a pretty darn good. I'm looking at an article right now on Mashable.com, which is kind of talking about the reviews here. And it says major superhero releases tend to have 250 to 350 reviews by the end of the review cycle. And so this movie's just out of the gate, but it's doing pretty darn good. I'm excited to see it. It looks like a lot of fun. There's a lot of kind of almost 80s throwback to their fonts and a lot of the music and stuff. So it really ties into our last 1985 show.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty good and is, you know, another piece in the Marvel Universe. It looks like a lot of fun. So,
yeah, this is going to be a key piece, I think, to help bring a lot more of the characters into space as they lead towards this big battle with Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet series. But this movie just looks so fun. I mean,
it does.
So much fun.
You know, a lot of our superhero movies of late have been trying to get very drama-esque, very serious, very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And we do love those ones. But, you know, having one like this where we could just go in and have a great time. And how many superhero movies have you gone to where you're laughing? And I have a feeling that we're going to laugh and laugh through this movie.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of good moments. And this is coming. We won't spend a lot of time on Thor because, I mean, we've talked about it quite a bit over the last few months, but I think we're all excited for it. But this is coming fast, November 3rd. So that's not this Friday, but next Friday. And
theaters will be packed.
Theaters will be packed, and I'm really looking forward to see what they do with this.
I heard that Tom Hiddleston's performance is very low-key. Is that right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I just came up with that, but I'm probably not the first.
What did I see? There's three characters in Thor, but which I just saw today.
Incredible Hulk.
The girl that plays Valkyrie. And
yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Is who was that Valkyrie person?
No, I'm drawing a blank because there's three of them. They actually, Michael B. Jordan was another one. He's in the new Black Panther movie. And Stallone, he was in the Guardians of the Galaxy. And it showed them, they were all in the movie Creed, you know, the Apollo Creed Rocky movie, the last Rocky movie. They were all three in that movie together. And now they're all three in major Marvel superhero movies. So it's kind of interesting little tie in there. But
interesting.
And Michael B. Jordan was awesome with the Bulls, too.
Not the same.
Oh, it's not Air?
No,
Air
not Air Jordan.
Oh, man.
Not Air Jordan. So
he wasn't in Space Jam?
Nope.
I thought that's what Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was Space Jam.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
So the Punisher, speaking of superheroes or guys that are really good with guns, that wear skull shirts.
John Wick.
He's getting a date and a new trailer. Who's he getting a date with?
Justice
Selma Hayek. Oh,
are you going to
punish
me? He is
going on a date with the Justice League. That's what he's doing.
Oh.
See, this is pretty big news because Netflix had been teasing that Punisher was coming out sometime 2017. Rumor has it they were set to release it just days after or the weekend when the Vegas shooting happened. And they made the smart choice and they pushed it back and
moved
that because this is a very violent character and in brand of Marvel Comics.
Yep.
And so they pushed it back. Well, they could have chosen just about any other day to do this. Instead, they wait until the same day that Justice League is dropping in theaters on November 17th. Hmm. And so kind of a little, you know, gamesmanship. I don't think too many people are going to skip, you know, going to the movie theater just to stay home and watch Punisher, which will be available forever. But still kind of fun that they did that. The new trailer, though, is fantastic if you guys haven't seen it.
Well, we know what you like.
Now,
it.
Well, I have not seen the full second season of Daredevil.
Watch that first.
I do have to watch that first.
I did see the first two episodes of season one, though. Does that count?
No.
I watched the trailer.
I don't know if you'll have to watch Daredevil season two to understand what's going on with Punisher, but it'll definitely enhance it. I'm not sure how the story's gonna play, but
enhance.
I know that one of the characters from Daredevil will be in this movie as well, Karen Page,
Daredevil.
who is the secretary for Matt Murdock's law firm. So there is some crossover, and it's definitely tied into that same Netflix Marvel universe. So definitely you want to finish season two on there. But yeah, Jason making a joke about why I love it. One of my all-time favorite bands is still Metallica, and they do a version of Metallica's song One in this trailer as the soundtrack piece to the trailers, and they cut it together. It's brilliant.
Did they slow it way down and make it like spacey? Because that seems to be isn't that the thing you're seeing in all these movie trailers now? Is there somebody is doing like a weird cover of a pop song? And it's
This is Metallica.
It's actually Metallica.
Well, you don't get more pop than Metallica.
No. Yeah, right.
That's what I've always said.
You know what I mean? When you say spacey, do you mean like how Justice League really put a lot of space in their come together song?
Yeah, I mean, so there's like that. And then when some of the Avengers films and stuff, and there's.
Or are you meaning like outer space?
It's just kind of a trend. No. I just mean it's like they use like a slowed down. You know,
yeah, they
cover of a pop song. That's,
yeah, I know what you mean. There might be a few moments like that, but it's overall, it's a really cool cut together of.
Did you Google the lyrics to One and now you're singing it slower?
Yeah, let's not do that because we know Metallica likes to sue. So, and that sounds crazy.
I'm just making noises.
But
really a night.
Yeah,
nice
the trailer sounding. Is amazing. This is not going to be one for kids. I mean, this looks violent.
can't watch that. I got kids.
Yeah, they're taking it from what the trailers show. They're making a Punisher series that is going to be full on Punisher, violent, brutal, heartbreaking because of the family elements in there. It's pretty incredible. But Netflix is on fire.
So and then after this is. Is that when he becomes a cop and then the apocalypse with the zombies happens?
Maybe.
he changes his name to Shane.
Yeah, this is the prequel to The Walking Dead.
And then he starts rubbing his head.
Yeah, this is like the Punisher caused the fear of The Walking Dead.
Well, no, he was in Walking Dead Prime, not Fear the Walking Dead.
But
you want to get your Walking Dead right.
He's going to show up in Fear also. I've never watched
Optimus
the show,
Prime.
But
you know what? Hey, before we go on to the next story here, since Dave brought it up, and the guy that doesn't watch Walking Dead brought it up.
Yeah.
Now, we've all been speculating ever since they announced that there will be a crossover.
Yep.
And they've been, everybody's been speculating, okay, who's going to be in the crossover? Who is it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any thoughts? Now, Dave thinks it's going to be Shane.
I think,
that's
John Barenthal's character. That's what I think.
Which it could be. I mean, it very well could be. What do you think, Adam? Because I have a theory myself.
Crossover with what?
Walking Dead.
Okay, Adam is completely out of it.
Punisher and Walking
Scott
Dead.
M. Gimple. Yeah, Punisher. Scott M. Gimple, Gail Ann Hurd, and the rest of the showrunners and stuff have officially announced that there will be a crossover between Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead.
Okay, and I haven't seen Fear the Walking Dead at all.
Okay, but you don't need to have seen that to speculate on who might be a crossover character. Just go from Walking Dead Prime. Who do you think might show up over there?
Glenn.
That's who I thought, too. And you want to know why? And I really think it could be Glenn because he was such a fan favorite.
Yep.
And he has to have a story before he met Rick in the tank. He could have been with this other crew when it broke out, somewhere, because you don't watch Fear the Walking Dead, but it is a prequel.
No.
It takes place before the zombie apocalypse happened, and then it's full on at the end of season one, the apocalypse have happened, but it's all a precursor to the, when Rick wakes up from his coma.
Aren't you glad I'm in alignment accidentally with you on this?
But I think it would be amazing because there was so much outcry when Glenn died because he was a fan favorite.
Yep.
Here's a way to bring him back. Put him, this happens before he ever meets Rick. He met this other group.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
Makes sense.
So Digital Soup is officially endorsing Glenn as the crossover character.
Yep. Good old Popeye. All right. Now, yeah. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from us, you know, accidentally agreeing on something here. Stranger Things, though, I just watched a recap of season one. If you haven't watched season one, do it, because season two is coming out. I'm excited about this. I was not a huge fan of the monster design at the end of Stranger Things.
I haven't seen any of it. I won't talk about it. There's monsters.
No, it's kind I meant is...
Kind of an 80s feeling monster, though, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it was wearing high tops and...
hammer pants.
Yeah, it had high tops, hammer pants.
Oh, wait, that would be the best monster ever.
Yes. It had a mullet.
Yeah. It has to be female so it could have that high 80s
It
hair.
Was driving an IROC. So October 27th, which is just 4 days from now, which if listeners, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, 3 days from now, it's gonna drop out on Netflix, and
you know what else?
Looks really cool.
What? If you're listening to it on Wednesday, it's only 2 days from now.
Yep.
If it's on Thursday, it's like Stranger Things 2 Eve.
And since I'm probably not going to release this till Saturday the 28th, it came out yesterday.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, the final trailer looks pretty amazing. Looks like the character of Eleven is going to have a pretty massive role again. So that's awesome. But
is Eleven related to Seven of Nine at all?
No. No, okay. Unfortunately, although that would be a brilliant tie-in. But
oh, that would be. Plus Jerry Ryan.
I'm just surprised Dave knows who 7 of 9 is.
I'm not a huge Trek fan. I have watched it. I have followed it.
Well, what was she before she came on the show?
She was a Borg.
Dang, this guy's a nerd!
Whoa.
Yeah, dropping some Trek knowledge on you.
Boom, that just happened.
Hey, yeah. Shazam.
Oh, yeah, I got to switch my catchphrase. So we're going to do one more story here before we hit the weekly garnish.
Yeah.
And do we want to talk about, these are both gaming stories. Usually, Dave, you nabbed some new PS3 games.
I did. And we talked about this again on our episode of Shame. It might have gotten lost in that horrible audio quality, but... it was pretty rough. You know,
if I could remember what the radio show was saying when the Hindenburg was coming down, I would have done that right now.
Oh, the humanity.
I was going to say the
huge manatees.
No, but I recently picked up a few PS3 games that I got a really good deal on. I picked up Grand Theft Auto 5.
Awesome.
Injustice Gods Among Us, the Ultimate Edition.
Awesome.
These are all old games, but I'm still on a PS3.
Awesome. Good.
Yeah, and so I'm just kind of going through and picking up some awesome games that I haven't played yet. But I picked up also NHL Legacy Edition, which was NHL 16. It was the last NHL hockey game put out for the PS3. And when I'm going to play sports, I do enjoy sports on my PlayStation.
Sportball?
Yeah, it's usually been football though, of some sort. A little bit of baseball, but hockey is always one of those ones that I really enjoy. Maybe it's just the physicality of it, something, I don't know. But I've always enjoyed hockey games, second to football games on the PlayStation.
Well, if you remember playing hockey with me, Dave, I would get super frustrated because I don't know any of these offsides, double lines, blue lines. I would go into the options, I'd turn all of that off, I'm just like, let's just play!
Yep, exactly. But I picked these games up, and the only reason I mention that is because this NHL game, I've only had a chance to just tinker around with it a tiny bit. It's been a busy week or two, but it got me thinking about some of the classic, you know, best hockey video games of all time.
NES hockey.
That we've all played. You know, ice hockey, yeah.
Classic.
And so what I did, and you guys didn't know I was doing this, I actually just put it together. This is all my picks on it, so your choices may vary, or maybe I've left something out. But I put up an article on the DigitalSoupPodcast.com website, which you can see. I believe I titled it just the 8 Best Hockey Video Games of All Time. The only rules, any system was up for grabs and fair game, including the arcade and everything else. But the only rule I made is I stayed away from any of the new systems between PS3, PS4, Xbox, all of those, because really, even though some of those classic games have a lot of great, you know, memories attached to them, I don't know how ice hockey for the NES can compete with, you know, the brand new PS4 version of NHL hockey. I mean, they're just so good nowadays, but put together a pretty fun little list.
You
there.
Do have the NES ice hockey on there.
Yep,
cool.
Yep. Go check out that list. I put it together. See if you remember awesome. Some of these. Take a little trip down memory lane. And also,
well, I was hoping
know.
You put Blades of Steel on there, which.
Don't ruin it. Don't tell people.
Oh, sorry.
If
I
did. We want people
I mean,
to go
Blades of Puke.
Yeah, no. We want people to go check out the list. So let me know what you think if you're a fan of the hockey games or anything else. And, you know, we'll kind of discuss it from there. But just something kind of fun we put together. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we, as in Dave.
Yeah, just Dave.
Because Adam and I knew nothing about this.
I mean, we hosted
this,
the website
cool.
and we talked about yeah, it.
So. I mean, he could have at least brought us into the fold.
Well, I put it all together. We had such a busy week because we were doing that, you know, we had our horrible audio episode, which we still feel so bad for Mac.
Yeah, we're
going to have
it.
Him back on. Yeah, I mean, we need to get Mac back on when we can get a good sounding show because the content was great and he's such a fun guy. Good friend of the show. And so we'll get him back on. And then we decided to do the 80s episode, which if you haven't listened to that yet, you guys
Hello,
really
I'm,
do.
I'm here.
Yeah, do
this
your.
This is Captain Paul.
Yeah. No, if
thank you for having me back.
If you haven't listened to that 80s episode we did, the flashback to 85, please go check it out because
that
it is so
yeah.
much fun. I mean, it was a blast to do. So. But we had such a busy week. I just put this article together. I even scheduled the post so it wasn't coming out the same day as our other stuff.
Very nice.
Forgot to tell you guys about it.
All right. Now, I'm going to move us over to the weekly garnish.
Yeah.
I've got a product here. Now, it's tech, but it's not computer or electronic. This comes from me being up in the Gunflint Trail area of northern Minnesota, which is up near the Canadian border, and just kind of camping. And if you've ever tried tying something off or tightening ropes and then trying to tie a knot and then you lose the tension, they call it a figure nine from a company called Night Eyes. That's NITEIZE. It's a figure nine rope tightener. And what it allows you to do is just this one little piece of solid metal I'm going to include the link in the show notes. The way it's shaped and everything allows you to really wrench on the rope, get full tension, and then just tie it off through some teeth that are in there, and it holds your original tension, so you don't have to waste time tying a knot or anything like that. It actually came out really handy for, you know, putting up tarps and stuff. So a little bit of camping outdoor tech today. So we will include the link in the show notes. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, you know, with this, like, you know, this is going to obviously help, you know, avoid your tent sagging anything or anything like that, obviously, with the tension part of it. You have one of these on every single rope you did?
No, actually, we only had two of these on hand, and we built a canopy for ourselves between the camping trailer and a couple of trees and a tarp.
Oh, okay.
So we had a tarp set up kind of as like basically a canopy roof. With two bungees on one side, and then we took the other two corners and used paracord, wrapped them around trees, and ended up using these figure nine rope tighteners to get a good tension. Sure. And it actually held up against some pretty heavy rain, so it was good.
Right, yeah, we had some weather.
Would you recommend using this for, like, rappelling?
No.
No.
I would not, unless you want to rappel down and die.
Yeah, then it's not called rappelling, it's called dropping.
Now, this can be, the cool thing with this, it doesn't have to be just camping. You can use this anywhere where you're working with a rope if you got a bundle of stuff that you're taking in your car that you want to tie down, whatever.
Right.
Or if you're Chad from Nebraska, you might be using
really make sure you get the tension right. Exactly.
Yeah, these look pretty sweet. They're not real expensive either. I mean, it looks like they're just over $5.
Yep. And they're easy to use, and it was extremely useful because, you know, it's almost like you always lose, you know, tension in the rope when you're tying it just with a regular knot.
Right.
When you tighten the knot, you're actually introducing more slack into the line. So a little bit of outdoor tech.
I love
Will this help you lose tension with your significant other?
Because you won't be complaining and swearing that your tension's not right on your rope, and you'll be spending more time in the tent with your loved one.
Right. Now, I love this pick, Adam. I'm glad you brought this up because I'm a huge outdoors fan. I'm always out as much as I can get out in the woods, and This is something I wasn't aware of, but it has a bazillion uses.
It is actually, I was surprised because I didn't own these. My buddy Tim owns them. He got them out, took them out of the package, and we used them. It was like, holy moly, that was awesome. So easy to solve a problem with a great invention. Cool. So, absolutely. That's kind of the garnish we brought today. Now, before we move on to the Ghostbusters giveaway stuff, I want to tease a little bit for next week's show.
Oh, stop. Teasing harm. Listen.
Just a little ear tickle.
Oh, boy.
A little nibble on the neck.
No, that's creepy. But speaking of creepy, next week for Halloween, we are going to have a show all about dark tales from the World Wide Web. So,
yeah, not DuckTales.
No, not DuckTales. Woohoo. So what we've been doing is we're collecting stories of things that have happened online, just internet related or tech related, you know, creepy, weird, crazy things. And we're going to be talking about that. It's going to be kind of our special Halloween episode. So if you like that kind of stuff, be sure to check it out.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I know, Adam, you've been putting a lot of work in getting this show together for us, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we can add one. It's losing all your pictures off your micro SD card.
Yeah, right.
That is a horrible one.
Man, that's a killer.
And just, you know, and to make sure that we do this perfect, we will be using Zencastr next week.
Yeah.
Boo.
Well, with that tease out of the way, definitely stay tuned for that. But we need to talk real quickly about our friends here at the Gunna Geek Network. We are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. You can find all kinds of great shows there right on GunnaGeek.com. Over 20 shows at this point, I believe.
That's a lot of shows.
That's a lot of distortion.
Right. Right. And so,
I was really close to my mic.
Sorry, Dave.
Anyways, no, but they've got shows on everything from, you know, individual podcasts about like The Flash and Arrow to general geek talk and gaming, all kinds of different stuff. But this week I want to mention a show out there called Super Geeky Playdate. They actually joined the network right about the same time as we did. And in this most recent episode, it says episode 59. What is this?
I'm doing background music and Jason's singing.
Yeah, what is this? No, episode 59, they call it the top 5 soundtracks. The information on their show says that their good friend Max stops in, and by a weird coincidence, so does their arch nemesis Randy.
I hate that guy.
They discuss Justice League, Star Wars, Black Panther, and all the best music. So sounds like a fun episode, especially if you like movie soundtracks. So go check out our friends over at the Super Geeky Playdates on the Gunna Geek Network. Show them some love. And make sure while you're there to check out the other shows on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeek.com.
Super Geeky Playdate.
Check it out. All right. Well, as Adam said, too, we had one last thing to talk about, and that was our Ghostbusters giveaway. Now, get on this because we've got just a little bit of time left. This contest is going to end. We're going to draw a winner Sunday evening, the 29th of October, which will be this coming weekend. We need you to have all of your entries in by no later than 10 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, October 29th. And to enter to win this Ghostbusters giveaway, what it is, we've got a Ghostbusters DVD gift set, which has Ghostbusters 1 and 2 on DVD, as well as a pretty sweet little scrapbook from the movies with original artwork and stories and different things like that from behind the scenes. To enter, all you have to do is follow the Digital Soup Facebook page.
Follow.
You can find the links to that right in the show notes here on our website at digitalsouppodcast.com under the social media tab. Once you're there and you followed or liked the Digital Soup Facebook page, we need you to, you'll see a post for the Ghostbusters giveaway. We need you to like and share that giveaway post and then leave a comment on the post saying you'd like to be entered. And that is it. And we are going to draw the winner, put everyone into a random number generator and have that winner randomly selected. And we're going to announce that on that very special Halloween episode that Adam had talked about just previously. So hurry up and get entered. Share this out. Right now, you've got a good chance of winning because we don't have a ton of entries. So great time to jump in on it.
Definitely Get in on this, people. This is
two free movies.
These are classics. These are great movies.
Right.
This is not Howard the Duck. Yeah. This is 50%
of the movies are great. Right.
Oh, you didn't like Ghostbusters 2?
No. So yeah, it was good.
It was, yeah.
But you know what?
It's not Lady Ghostbusters.
I would love to have the set.
Yeah, you're not eligible, though.
I quit. Now can I have
unshare?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Is there a dislike button?
So, guys, like Dave mentioned, please check that out. And head over to digitalsouppodcast.com. to find out even more information about us that you didn't already know. Like Dave mentioned, we've got some great articles out there on our site, not just posts about our individual shows and show notes. We've got the hockey post. We've got the Friday the 13th post. We've got some reviews of things that we've done. And check out all of our social media out there. We'd love to have you interact with us on Twitter and on Facebook. And make sure you hit like and subscribe wherever you see us. And tell a friend about us. We would love to have some more listeners. And maybe you'd have somebody else that you can talk about how awesome our show is with or how much it sucked. Usually how awesome it is. So from all of us here at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you listeners out there throughout the entire world of the international body of listeners of the Digital Soup Podcast, podcast.org. Have a good one. We'll catch you next week. That does not mean I'm buying that domain name either, by the way.
Take care, guys. We'll see you next week.
Shazam!
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons.